In the first sikha of Kisisa, Chelek Yud Aleph, it's a very long sikha, it's 14 pages, and for the sake of just having one nekuda, it's a sikha that has various points, obviously all coming from the same thread, but it goes in various directions. And what I'm going to focus on, just for the sake of being able to bring it into a vart that we can take home and think about and share, I'll focus on the fifth and sixth ois and the final ois. So, if I had to give the theme, it would be called the evolution of idol worship, the evolution of Avodah Zarah. How does a person reach the stage of Avodah Zarah? And the Rebbe, Al Pi Pshutei Shel Mikra, in a very simple, straightforward way, asks the question and says, how is it possible that, number one, Aaron helped with Avodah Zarah? Seems, according to the two pshats of Rashi, one of them all he did was tie the knot, the other one he actually formed something, but he definitely had some role within the story that turned into the Egel Azav. And the question goes on Bnei Yisrael, specifically the men, as the Rebbe says at the end of the Sikha, it's not the woman who didn't sin at all, but how did all the men, or so many of them, fall into the trap 40 days after Matan Torah, thinking that Avodah Zarah is okay? So there are various answers, even within Chassidus, that the Rebbe addresses, but in this Sikha he focuses on a very straightforward Pashuta one. He says like this, even Rashi feels that it's self-understood that he doesn't have to say this. Why? Because if you look at the pasuk, the pesukim, "Vayad ha'am ki voishesh Moshe l'redes," it took the nation saw that Moshe was delaying in coming down from the mountain. "Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish," Moshe, Moshe, Moshe. Why the focus on Moshe? And how does focus on Moshe turn into Avodah Zarah? Just because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down a mountain, now you need a new god? How does that work? Moshe was simply an intermediary, a memutza. So how did wanting an intermediary turn into a god and Avodah Zarah mamish? And the answer is that it was a slow process. The slow process was that at the beginning, all they wanted was to replace Moshe. They wanted to have a person, not a person, but a thing that stands between Hashem and Am Yisrael. And they even, in their mind, seems to have a basis to it. Why? Because although they weren't informed yet about the Mishkan, but they were going to be informed of the Mishkan, and you see that they weren't surprised by it, when Hashem says that the holiest place, in the holiest building, in the whole world, is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? An Aron. And what was on the Aron? Kruvim. So somehow there is some legitimacy, at least in their mind, to this idea that things can play a role between Am Yisrael and Hashem. And interesting, Rashi references the word Anush, which is also Enosh, can be read Enosh, even though it's not the context of Rashi, but Al Derech Remez. And we know the famous Rambam in the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where the Rambam actually shares a story almost, the evolution of Avodah Zarah, and he says, "Bimei Enosh, in the days of Enosh, people made a big mistake, and Enosh was one of them." And remember, the Enosh is just three generations from Adam Arishon. He's literally Adam Arishon's grandson, Adam Sheis Enosh. Obviously, in the time that Adam's still alive, Yetzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu was created by Hashem. And what does Enosh make the mistake? That because Hashem created stars, and these stars seem to have power, I mean, think about it. At night, you only see thanks to the moon and stars, etc. So we should give them covered. The Uyim Lach L'Shapcha Mulefarim, they are deserving that we praise them and put them on a pedestal and honor them. In other words, yes, the star has a role to play, but where they were mistaking is suddenly they thought this mimutza, this intermediary, yesh lebechira, has free choice, and we have to honor it because ultimately we want this being, this star, to continue giving us energy. And it's not just kegarzen miyad achoitzev, it's not just simply as a hammer in the hand of a craftsman. So, let's honor it. So they were right in the fact it's an intermediary. Hashem works in this world. B'derech HaTeva, through nature, He works through the stars. But the star is simply a tool of Hashem. So what are you honoring the star? But the issue is, it's an evolutionary process. Now, the Rebbe says, interesting, he says in brackets, he says, Bnei Yisrael and Aaron didn't make the mistake of Enosh. He's bringing Enosh as an example of how it could evolve. But he says that the Rebbe says it's clear that they knew that the Memutza, this intermediary, will not have any Bechira, but nevertheless, they thought it will play a role. And what happens is, when you play a role, it schleps. In the words of the Rebbe, nischavuktsasim, they got schlepped. Achachashvu lavaydazara mamish. That some people, not all people, took this idea that was simply an intermediary that doesn't even have a chira, just an intermediary. And slowly but surely, in their mind, they allowed it to evolve to avaydazara mamish. So, what's the take home message? Chet. Sin, especially something like Avodah Zarah, where does it come from, according to Chassidus? There has to be some form, at least bedakus, in a very edel form, there has to be some kind of separateness. It cannot come when somebody is feeling united, betachlis ha'achdus, in the ultimate unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rebbe says it could actually happen from Torah Gufa, because you see, even in Torah, there are 70 opinions, and according to the Arizal, Arizal says 600,000 neshamas, the 600,000 approaches to Torah. So Chas v'Shalom, that leads to a chet, because Torah, Hashem, Oidai Sikud Shabichu Gulachad. But the mere fact that there is Hischakus, it allows, not on Torah's sake, but from the person's sake, because a person is not Achdus HaPshut, a person has a Nevesh HaBahamas, a person is, doesn't see Elikus. The person can interpret and evolve that division to something that could eventually cause him to do something wrong. Why? Because he could see himself now as a Yesh, as a separate entity. Yesh Oimrim. There is a yesh that says. Now the yesh, I mean, when it says it in Gemara, it's yesh, I mean, is whatever. It's obviously referring to Chachamim. But he could interpret in the Adam HaTachton, the human being could interpret yesh. Yeshes and yeshes. And where does this all come from? It comes from separateness. It comes when there isn't absolute and wholehearted Kabbalah. So, when the Kabbalah's oil would be b'shleimus, then you wouldn't even come to the beginning of the process. You wouldn't go down this, not evolution in a positive sense, but the devolve, the devolution, de-evolution. You wouldn't go down this process. The Rebbe says, like the woman who never even went on the process. But when we allow ourselves to even have a hadala, even a little space, we allow in our own minds to start convincing ourselves about separateness, and we allow ourselves to see ourselves as independent, we can chas v'shalom go down that path. So what's the lesson? The Rebbe says the lesson is we have to work on our Kabbalah oil, to literally have a mun of a Kabbalah oil. And the Rebbe says in those two things of Emunah and Kabbalah's oil, there is no such thing as division. It's absolute. It's singularity. There's no division. And that, if you work on your Emunah and Kabbalah's oil, which within it there's no division, that allows you to develop this absolute unity in other areas of your Avodas Hashem, that even when you learn something in Torah that has various Pidushim, says the Rebbe, you feel within the division, within the Ischalkus, you'll feel the Achdus, Sapshuta, you'll feel the absolute unity. So in other words, through Emunah Kabbalah's oil, which will activate within you and will give you a perspective of Achdus, that will allow that your entire Torah and everything else you do comes from a perspective of Achdus, Sapshuta. Have a good Shabbos.